That is a truth tonight, that all other ground is sinking sand, and nothing better than trusting in Christ for every aspect of our lives. And so as you're getting yourself settled there, you can take your Bibles, and we are going to find ourselves tonight in 1 John. 1 John, chapter number 5. And this was originally a subject I wanted to deal with about a month ago now, back the end of July, and other readings and other scriptures kind of came across my way and spoke to my heart a little bit more so, and thought that what we looked at that time was what the Lord would have for us, and would have been more helpful. But tonight, I believe this is what the Lord would have for us this evening, especially as we're getting into a new season, the fall months, and kind of like with the new year, it has a sense of renewal. It has a sense of freshness. It has a sense of starting over. And so I think this is a appropriate subject for us here tonight. So you're there, 1 John chapter 5. Notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 11 down through verse number 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11 down through verse 13. The Bible says this, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so here's the thought I want to impress upon us tonight, and it's this thought. And that is that the moment you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, immediately there was a change. Immediately there was a transformation. As Acts 26:18 tells us, you passed from darkness to light. As John 3:3 tells us, you were born again by the Spirit. You were redeemed by Christ's blood, and you were adopted as God's child. And that happened the moment you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, let's look at a few of these verses, and we're going to be flipping around, and so you do your best to keep up there. But look, if you would, Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, of course, this is the account of Paul's defense before King Agrippa and his accounting to King Agrippa his testimony, how he came to know Christ, how he came to be saved, how he came to be born again. And let's begin there at verse number 13. Acts chapter 26, verse number 13. And the Bible says this, "At midday, O king," so we see this is Paul talking to King Agrippa, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, from the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." And here's the key, verse number 18. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified or set apart by faith that is in me." And so the moment you or I put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, our eyes, which were before until that point closed, when we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, our eyes became open. We were turned from darkness to light. We were taken from the power of Satan and given to the power of God. Satan now no longer has any power or hold or control over us, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. We have an inheritance waiting for us someday, and that is that reunion with Christ when we go to heaven. But I want you to notice something there in verse number 18, and it just came to me. It says to open their eyes. And to open their eyes. And so, yes, the moment you got saved, your eyes, wherefore before time, they were closed, they were blind to sin. Well, now they're open. But you know what the Bible often refers to Christians as when they first get saved? Newborn babes in Christ. And so when a baby is born, oftentimes the baby comes out of the mom's womb into this world, and the baby opens its eyes, but it has trouble kind of seeing everything around it. Everything's kind of a blur, and they don't yet quite know where and what to do and who to trust and all the rest. And that's true of the Christian. That's true of the person who they just get saved. Yes, our eyes are open, but we're newborn babes in a sense again. We still need to hone those senses, and that's where discipleship comes in. Look, if you would, John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And let's begin at verse number 1. John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so we see, and Nicodemus, he He struggled with this concept of being born again. He had it in his mind physically. He says, born again? Well, how can I enter back into my mother's womb and be born again? And that's where Jesus had to show him, no, you're not born again in that sense. You're born again by the Spirit of God. We see that we're redeemed by Christ's blood. Look, if you would, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. And notice here, if you would, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then we see perhaps the best verse of all, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll begin at verse number 14, but the key verse is verse number 15. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And here's the key, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We have been adopted as God's child. We are now his son. We are now his daughter. But even though we know all of this, and we can go and we can read the scriptures, sometimes doubts can creep in. And we begin to ask the question, can we lose our salvation? And well, again, Scripture emphatically gives us that answer. It answers with an emphatic no. Because God's covenant is secure. When God makes a promise, he keeps that promise. He doesn't break that promise. You know, we've all had people, they make a promise to us, and, you know, we get excited, and then they break that promise, and it gets us disappointed. And listen, we don't have to worry about that with God, because when God makes a promise, when God says something, he delivers that promise. See, how do we know that? Well, look, if you would, John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 28 and 29. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. The Bible says, or let's begin in verse number 22. John chapter 10, verse 22. The Bible says, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. but ye believe not. You know, just as a side note here and a timeout, sometimes we get almost flabbergasted that there would be people that we know that they wouldn't believe in Jesus. That we can give them all the evidence from Scripture and they still won't believe in Jesus. They still won't come to Him for salvation. And I need to encourage you tonight, don't let it discourage you, because the people here, they had Jesus right there, flesh and blood, face to face, and Jesus says they still didn't believe. And so don't let it surprise you tonight that when you're out there witnessing and you're sharing your faith and you're soul winning and you're trying to see people saved, and they say, oh no, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't know if he exists. And then you take the Bible and you show him that, and you show them that he exists. And they say, oh no, I still won't believe. The people in his day, with him there, face to face, they didn't believe. And so don't let it dissuade you or discourage you. But he says there, but ye believe not, verse 26, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Here it is, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand, or out of my hand, excuse me. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man. By the way, that includes you tonight. You know, there are certain denominations that teach you can lose your salvation, but that goes against what the Scripture just says. No man shall pluck you out of my hand. That means us as well. There's nothing we can do to forfeit our salvation. Now, we can forfeit rewards. We can forfeit fellowship. We can be chastised, and oftentimes we are, but we cannot and will ever lose our salvation. It just can't happen. I always find it interesting. In fact, that our church in Oklahoma, just up the street, we had one of those churches. It's the Free Will Baptist. You go by, you drive around, you see a church that says Free Will Baptist. Usually 9 times out of 10, that is a church they believe that you can lose your salvation. But here's the funny thing. They can never tell you what you have to do to lose your salvation. It's just always in very generalized terms. Oh, yes, you can lose your salvation. Well, how do I lose my salvation so I can avoid that? Oh, well, it's just in the hands of God. That goes against Scripture. That goes against the Bible. No man can pluck them out of my hand. So tonight, that's the question we want to deal with. Can I lose my salvation? And I want to submit to you this evening that there are three reasons why we cannot lose our salvation. There are three reasons why we cannot lose our salvation. Number one, God's gift is eternal. God's gift is eternal. Look there again, verses 28 and 29, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, 28 and 29. And I give unto them eternal life. And notice what it says. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I think we have to include verse number 30 because it's a very important verse. I and my Father are one. See, in Jesus' day, there were people who doubted that Jesus was God come in the flesh. But by Jesus saying this, I and my Father are one, he is reaffirming his deity, that he is the God-man, that he is God come in the flesh. You go out and you talk to Jehovah's Witnesses. They will teach and try and show you that that Jesus, he was a good man, he was a good prophet, he was all these different things, but he was not God. And that is a false teaching. That is a false doctrine. I and my Father are one. He had just as much power as God the Father. And that's why he says, I and my Father am one, because they won't be able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. They won't be able to pluck you out of the Son's hand. And just for, you know, it's not here, but I'd venture to say they won't be able to pluck you out of the Holy Spirit's hand either. And so God's word is eternal. And these verses, they confirm that no one can snatch believers out of God's hand. Look, if you would, Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter 6. And notice there, if you would, verse number 23. Romans 6, 23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we see here this verse, it affirms to us that salvation is a divine, irreversible, irrevocable gift. That once God gives it, he's not going to be an Indian giver and take it back. He's going to give it, and it's yours and yours forever. Look, if you would, John chapter 20. Gospel of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20, look there if you would, verses 30 and 31. Let's begin at verse 24, actually. John chapter 20, beginning at verse number 24, because this is, of course, Jesus appearing to the disciples. And of all the disciples that are present, there's one here that we know very well, Doubting Thomas. Verse number 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You know, again, just as a side, I have to probably call... call kind of baloney on that. Now, we know Thomas. We're going to see it here in a minute because he will see him and believe. But what did Jesus say earlier to those people just back in John chapter number 10? They see, they hear, and they believe not. And so John or Thomas here, he was given a fool's errand, kind of, by saying, well, if I see, I'll believe. Well, there were others earlier that had seen and they didn't believe. And we're going to see what happens here. Verse number 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Again, it goes back to what we read in John chapter 10. They've seen and they won't believe. And Jesus says here that the ones who don't see and believe, they're more blessed. But then here's the two verses I wanted us to focus on. Verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I love verse number 30. Many other signs were done. They're just not written in the book. And in another passage in John, it says that if they wrote everything down, there would not be enough books in the world to contain it. That's how much Jesus did. That there would not be enough books in the world to contain it. And then verse 31 assures us that salvation is immediate upon faith. The moment you believe is the moment you have salvation. Not next week, not next month, not next year, but there, then, right when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's gift is eternal. Secondly, our relationship is unbreakable. Our relationship is unbreakable. Look, if you would, Romans chapter 8. I was reading an article, and it said five things pastors shouldn't do from the pulpit. And one of them is say, tell the congregation I'm almost done. But I promise you, I'm almost done. We have about five more scriptures to look at tonight. But look, there, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 15. The Bible says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We are permanently adopted by God. Listen, he doesn't adopt us, take us home for a trial period. And, if after the trial period it doesn't work out, he just takes us back to the adoption shelter and tries again. No, when he adopts us, and he keeps us. He never sends us back. Look, if you would, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And notice there, verse number 37. John chapter 6, verse 37. The Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And then look, if you will, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Then notice there, verse number 26. The Bible says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Christ, when he saved us, he made an unbreakable commitment to us. And then look, if you would, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And verse number 1. Romans chapter 5. And verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified. That word justified, you can define it simply as just as if I had never sinned. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification. A one-time, permanent declaration of righteousness. And so can we lose our salvation tonight? No, because God's gift is eternal. Our relationship is unbreakable. And then thirdly and finally tonight, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Look, if you would, Ephesians chapter 1, final portions of Scripture tonight. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, notice there verses 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14, the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And here we see the Scripture describes the Holy Spirit of God as that divine guarantee of our security in Him. And then finally, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And notice there, verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit of God's seal is unbreakable. When he saves us, he secures us in the palm of his hand. But now I want you to notice, we're saved, and praise God, we're saved, and we can never lose our salvation. And I'm thankful for that tonight, that we can never lose our salvation. But now, as Christians, here's how we're supposed to live after salvation. Notice Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then even if you want to go back up, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so, yes, tonight we're saved. And we cannot lose that salvation. But God has an expectation for how, as Christians, we're to live. And in essence, we're to be a people that we turn the other cheek. People may speak wrongly about us. They might treat us all kinds of different ways and mean ways. And the Bible says, I believe it's Proverbs. I want to say Proverbs. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And listen, so someone does you wrong, someone does me wrong. Guess what? Just leave it to the Lord. Leave it in His hands. And live how, as Christians, He says we're supposed to live. So we started tonight in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 11 through 13, you say, why did we start there? We didn't stay there. Well, let's read it again. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, and this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the light, the Son, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you. What things? The things we just looked at tonight. God's gift is eternal. Our relationship is unbreakable, sealed by the Holy Spirit. This is the record. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye know that ye know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Oh, and I like this, verse 14. We didn't read it, but look at it. And this is the confidence. Listen here tonight. When you ask God to save you, you can have confidence in that asking. Why? That we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Here, I want you to know tonight, it was His will for you to get saved. And if you asked Him to save you, we have the promise from the Scripture, from God Himself, that He heard you and that He would do exactly that. And if you put your faith and your trust in Him, then one day, when it's all said and done, we'll be taken to heaven with Him. And everybody that has gone on before us, Mandy and I, we were going into Arby's this afternoon before church to get a little something to eat. And this little old lady stopped us, and she asked, aren't you the pastor of the Baptist church? And I said, yes. She said, you did the funeral for Beverly Benson. And so we got the talking a little bit, and you know, Beverly, from all accounts, she was a believer, and there's going to be a glad reunion someday in heaven. And for us that have lost loved ones that they've gone on before, we'll see them again someday. And that's going to be a glad reunion day. But it's all because of the confidence that we have in Christ. The confidence we have in the Lord. Let's pray.